if you read it just on the surface, is a little jarring. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Well, that's the highest form, and none of us will ever reach that this side of glory. So I think it's just worth noting, but not watering down too much, because we don't want to ever give anyone the impression that trying hard is good enough, and if you're good enough, you'll get into heaven, because that's not what God's word says.
Welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we start a new series on the book of 1 John, and begin to see the message of this book is trust and obey. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please go to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search John in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on the website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Let's start in prayer.
Lord, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the beautiful sunny day and for getting everybody here safe. I pray for all of the women who are part of this ministry. God, would you just wrap your arms around them today, wherever they are. Lord, and anybody listening, thank you for bringing them to this conversation as well. We just ask that you would bless it and be in it and help us to learn from it. And we lift it up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So before we talk about 1 John, I want to introduce everybody who wants to go for. Everybody knows who I am. So I'm Holly. You know what? Everybody already knows. So I'm here every time. Every time. You want to start, Carol?
Sure. I'm Carol Sullivan. I'm married 13 years and a believer since I was in high school. Got to know Holly through Bible study at church. So glad to be here.
Do you have children?
I have two children. We were just talking about them.
It comes up.
11-year-old boy just started middle school and a 10-year-old girl.
Okay. I just wanted to give a little perspective on that because it so totally colors mm-hmm. and it absolutely comes up. So I just want to make sure you got in front of it.
I'm Caroline Flynn. I am married almost 15 years, three boys, a 13-year-old, 10-year-old who just started middle school as well, and an 8-year-old who is in third grade, all boys. And I am born, raised Catholic, 12 years Catholic, private school. I'm still practicing Catholic. Met Holly in MOPS,
yeah.
Years ago mm-hmm. with babies.
Those were good years. I was just thinking, I cannot believe Ben is 8.
I know. Brought him as an infant mm-hmm. to Bible
and
study.
To the Bible study, yeah.
That was when I first started doing Bible studies when Ben was born.
Yeah,
so,
I
yeah.
love that.
Yep, that's my gig.
My Bible study was your first Bible study?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, in the library at church.
You called me and
I do remember
you
that.
Called me and said God put me on your heart to reach out to invite to Bible study. And I had just literally been on the floor crying postpartum.
Yeah, I remember that
on my
you
kitchen
said
floor
that you needed
crying
that call. Yeah.
After a complete meltdown at CVS. Not CVS's fault. it was just, and that was kind of like the door.
Mm.
How funny.
That right? is so good.
Yeah. Cool.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Holly. Hi, ladies.
Hey.
I'm Marilyn Franzi. I'm the token senior. I've been married 35 years. I won't tell you how many years I've been a Christian.
A lot.
Raised in a Christian family. I have no children. Most of my peers are talking grandchildren. I don't have any of those either.
Yeah, but you're my church mom. You have my kids.
Yeah, true. True. I have a lot of kids at church.
Marilyn's my church mom. I love her so very much. And I'm super excited to have her wisdom around this table. Finally, for the first time. So, yay. Okay. So, thank you. I want to talk about 1 John. We've been doing a few books in really a thematic Bible study. So, what we've been doing is counterintuitive to me because I love to dig into God's word and I could spend hours and hours and hours. So this is really an exercise in self-control for me. And there are times when I do go deep diving, even during these recordings, even though that's what I'm trying not to do. So what we're really trying to accomplish is a thematic overview. So far we've done Malachi and Jonah. And this is our third book where we're doing sort of a thematic overview of the book. And want to give the listeners not necessarily the deepest, like what was happening at the time, what are all the cross references for this verse, like all that deep dive that you can do into scripture, but really stay in the central theme, really build it out and make sure that everybody would understand what that theme is, and then encourage you to go and do more on your own. You can certainly listen to all of these sessions on our website. You can always, as always, download the homework. That'll be on our website, of course, as well. But what we're hoping this time is that as you go deeper and as you really suss out the theme that we're building, that you might comment and share it with our community. So you can do that by going on our website, studywithfriends.org. And there's a search box at the bottom of every page. Just type in John and you'll find the study, the discussion guide, and then also a place where you can comment to share with the community what God's teaching you in 1 John. So we're going to talk about the theme today. But before we do that, it's worth mentioning also that 1 John is different than a lot of other books. John, in particular, writes in what we call a circular fashion. Most contemporary writing is linear. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Circular writing was more common at that time, and it's really circles back to the same theme. You keep making your point, and you make it again and again and again and again. And so for us, I don't know if you guys have ever had a challenge reading the books that John wrote, inspired by God, because his style, his communication style is so different than Paul, for example, who writes very in a very linear way. Paul starts with an introduction, he builds to his point, and then he makes a conclusion. And that, to us, I think, is more comfortable, because that's how contemporary writing typically is. And John, to some contemporary readers, might seem to meander, you know, like, what? He just said that. He said it again. It's just a different style. And so we're going to really unpack that. But it was worth mentioning. And then in the homework, what I did was I did a diagram, which has a circle. It's really more of an oval. I had to stretch it out. But it shows sort of that relationship between trust and obey, which I think most Bible scholars would agree is the theme of 1 John. And I think that what we'll find is that John is really helping us understand the inextricable link between trust and obedience, and how if you do one, it grows the other. So we'll unpack that as well. We're going to be coming back to the diagram. You'll hear us doing that a lot. It's okay if you don't have the diagram in front of you. It's not a big deal. It's just a method that we're going to use to kind of keep ourselves centered. And you can certainly, like I said, go back and grab it on the homework later. So let's start with chapter one of 1 John. And in typical John form, he starts by proclaiming the gospel. So why don't we start there? Marilyn, do you have 1 John 1, 5 through 9?
Yes, I do.
Would you read it?
1 John 1, 5 through 9. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:5 through 9.
Thank you. That was a lot. And let's rephrase that first before we decide where we want to put that on the trust or obey diagram. Can you rephrase? Does anybody want to rephrase that, or from your homework, just tell me what you wrote for that particular passage?
I wrote that the message of salvation, that Jesus cleanses us from our sins. Also, to fellowship with God, we have to walk in his way, which is the way of truth and holiness, rather than in darkness, which is sin and error. And to put it in the diagram, I kind of felt like it went on both.
Yep. I think we're going to find that. Well, and also because this was a longish passage. So it's okay. You put it where you think it goes. There's not a right or wrong answer. I know we were talking about that a little bit off mic. Like, I didn't want to get it wrong, so I wasn't sure where to put it. No one's checking your homework. I'm not redlining your homework. I just want you to be aware of it. You know, like, this is just a mechanism we're using. This diagram is just a mechanism we're using to make sure that we're digging up that theme of trust and obey out of each little passage that we're reading. So did you guys have any different thoughts or additional thoughts on that?
I definitely just had put it only in the obey. And I think for me, it was more like the difference between obey and trust. It's like an action word versus an emotion, mm-hmm. you know, and I kept honing in on it's, you know, it's not enough. I rephrased it as it's just not enough that one is a believer or a quote Christian. One has to follow through in thoughts and actions and mm-hmm. live in his word, you know, mm-hmm. Walk, mm-hmm. action. So yeah. I had just stuck it in obey, but I can understand
both.
Yeah.
To you, is trust a response?
Yeah, you know what? It is. It's,
So to you, trusting is a reactive situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
I know. And oh, it's totally something I deal with all the time, especially in my faith. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not going to jump on that yet. And yeah. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's just how I'm wired.
I think it's how most of us are wired. Yeah. We feel like trust is earned. But I think what we're going to uncover, and we'll do our best to uncover it today, but I think over the course of our lives, we uncover the more we obey and see God's faithfulness to that, the more it produces trust.
Right.
And sometimes you have to trust even when you're not feeling it. And that trust produces obedience that might not be as easy, but you do it anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not feeling this right now, but I'm going to choose it. And that to me is less of a response, less of a reaction, and more proactive.
More action. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see what I'm driving at?
No, I do.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that. Okay. Because I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying that I think in the way that God wants us to know him and love him, sometimes we have to choose it even when we're not feeling it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And so where did you...
I had put it on the obey side just because twice in the verse it says, if we do this, if we do something, mm-hmm. If we confess, if we have fellowship. So I thought it leaned more towards obey first.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a theme we're lifting out throughout this entire conversation, because to us, obedience is a doing and trust is a feeling, like you just said. But I think we can flip those. I think trust
Which comes first.
Yeah. Well, but also trust can be a doing and obedience can be a feeling. So we just have to really unpack all that. I think we'll get to it. If we don't, then I'll make a note at the end to try to draw my point, but I don't want to jump in front of it. Okay. So let's look at chapter 2. Again, really weird to just spend a hot second in each chapter. That's very strange for me, but we're trying it. And I do think that it's really a great goal for us to kind of do this thematically and then encourage people to go dig. And what I hope is that they're longing for more, that we do leave a sense of unfinishedness, and that they're like, you know, I really need to go get into that book, First John. So that's actually the goal. So if you have a discomfort, like I feel like I want more, that's what I want.
Right.
Okay.
First John 2:1-6. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. That's 1 John 2:1-6.
What version of the Bible do you, what translation do you read
from?
The
same one.
You don't, because really? You know what I wanted to point out?
That's
well,
I
used a different one. Okay, so today I have my ESV out, Caroline.
Right.
But typically I have NIV. Is that what you have?
NIV, yeah.
Okay. What do you have?
English Standard Version.
That's what I have.
And New International Version. We probably shouldn't assume everybody knows what NIV and ESV is.
Yeah, you're right. English Standard Version. And you have New International Version.
Right.
And what version do you read from?
NIV.
Okay. Yeah. So what's interesting, in my ESV, it says, keep his commandments and keeps his word. And I like that yours says obey, because that really helps solidify what we're trying to do today.
Kind of narrows it down.
Yeah, but if you're reading in the ESV, it might not have been as clear.
Right.
I mean, keeping his commandments, I guess, is pretty obviously obedience. But do you see in this particular passage the circular way that he says, trust, obey, trust, obey, trust, obey?
Yeah.
This was a great passage to bring out how John writes in a circular way. Can you say a little bit about that?
Well, just the verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Mm-hmm. Right there, it's kind of like...
Trust, obey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else want to say more on that? I left you 3 lines. Did you fill them up or no?
Well, I just have, again, you know, obey the commands, walk as Jesus did, confess the sins. These are all actions, not just words. Mm-hmm. If we act on our faith, and if we don't, the actual closeness to him is false.
Yeah. Or compromised. This is interesting. I think we should talk about it just for a second. Do you believe that John means literally anyone who does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him? Because I don't keep his commandments all day. I mess up all day. What do you think that's about?
Yeah, I think there's a literal keeping every commandment, which obviously no one is able to do. And scripture is very clear. We can't because of our nature. But if your heart is that you desire to keep all of his commands, that's what proves out if you truly have the Holy Spirit living within you.
And I would just add, you know, when you don't fulfill that goal, that you feel convicted,
right,
and that you meet with the Lord about it and you confess it. The only reason I'm doing that is because I have to think about, we have an understanding at this table of what faith looks like, but there may be listeners who are under the impression that if you try to do good, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we really want to make sure that we're solidifying through Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone. But a little bit, if you read it just on the surface, it is a little jarring. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Well, that's the highest form and none of us will ever reach that this side of glory. So I think it's just worth noting, but not watering down too much, because we don't want to ever give anyone the impression that trying hard is good enough. And if you're good enough, you'll get into heaven, because that's not what God's word says. God's word says, by faith in Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you will be saved. So I just wanted to lift that out a little bit, because I think if you ignore those things, then they become stumbling blocks, you know, because then nobody needs to feel like, well, I'm a liar and the truth is not in me because John said so. And I mess up. It's because if you juxtapose this with when Jesus pointed out that none of us are really keeping the commandments, because he pointed out, if you're angry, that's the same as murder. Then all of a sudden you put these two passages together and you're like, no one is.
Right.
Why no bother? One is accomplishing this.
Why bother?
Yeah.
This?
Yeah. Yeah. And
which
then,
is not.
But then you have to think, what could he possibly have meant? What could John possibly have meant if we know that that's the truth of Jesus Christ, that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and fall short. I think you did hit it. I just want to flesh it out a little bit. Yeah. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing, like, really feeling convicted, feeling a little bit like the truth is not totally in you. And God has been pushed away from your heart a little bit when you don't keep his word. Just wanted to lift that up because it's just tricky. John says some hardcore stuff and I do want everyone to dig in deeper, but there are some things I don't want to leave to guesswork.
But I think he also does make it clear that there should be a behavioral change.
Absolutely.
If you are truly saved, if the Holy Spirit is in you, if you believe in Christ, your behavior will change.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily proof of anything, but if in the absence of it, that's an issue too.
Yes, that's right. So, and Jesus said a tree is known by his fruit.
Right.
Not his fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. And James, this is a hotly contested passage in James as well, which says faith without works is dead. But this is all the same concept, that if your life doesn't look a certain way, it does create a question mark.
Right.
That's all. That's all they're saying. And if you are happy in your sin and you're satisfied with disobedience to God's law, then it's worth taking a look at whether your relationship with Jesus Christ has really gotten through your heart, or if you just haven't quite gotten there yet. And that's all we're saying, is just take a look at it, receive this trust and obey circle. And I'm so glad you said that, because at the end of the day, obedience is an outcropping of trust. Because I trust him, because of what he did for me, I want to do the things he's asking me to do. I want to live the way he wants me to live. That stems from the trust and the gratitude for grace. So if you're not feeling like you want to live that way, it's you've got a break in the circle. That's kind of the point. Where did you guys put that then on the diagram? Everywhere.
I put it in both.
Yeah.
Trust and obey. Jesus intercedes for us in our sin. And that's our we have to trust that part of it. And then our obedience demonstrates that we know him, as we just hashed out. Yeah. You know, if he lives in us, we'll live like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Or as close as we can.
Right.
And a little bit more each day. You know, I think that I'm still falling short, but I'm better than I was 10 years ago because God's growing me and sanctifying. Here's a great big Bible word, sanctifying me, you know, but he's working it out. He's working out my salvation. And that's what that means. Working out my salvation means, yeah, I'm eternally saved, but God works out my salvation through sanctification by growing me and increasing his Holy Spirit in me and helping me be more like Jesus every day.
And I just had to sort of impose my linear thought into this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, he says, for example, in verse, if a man who says, I know him, so that's the trust first. Mm-hmm. So that's why I put it on the trust part, because it seemed like in this particular passage, it's starting with trust and leading to obey.
Mm-hmm. But this is the whole loop.
Right, right.
Yeah. Do you agree that when I obey, it increases my relationship
with
him?
Saying this particular verse is one that starts. There are other verses that start with, if you do this, trust.
Produces
this
trust,
one is trust first, then you obey.
Yeah, so. Yes. I don't know how you put a linear place on that because it's so totally circular. But that's good. I hear what
sentence
you're saying.
Structure.
In this particular, if you just take this particular thing, right. Yeah, that's good. Where'd you put it, Caroline?
Again, I put it mostly in obey. I kind of question marked it a little bit, but just with Carol, what she just said, and I guess, again, it's just me. It's action, outcome. Oh, okay, light bulb, mm-hmm. trust, mm-hmm. action, you know, and maybe I have trust issues. I don't know, possibly.
Well,
but I see it as like a cyclical thing, because just like training our kids, you know, teaching our children.
That's good.
We kind of talked about it a little bit in another study, but when they're little, apologize.
Mm-hmm.
They might not mean it. They might not get it, mm-hmm. but apologize, because that's what you need to do.
It's the right thing to
and
do.
And eventually the dots will connect, mm-hmm. and eventually
they are sorry.
It is a sorry thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then they just like exercise, mm-hmm. eating well, all that stuff, you know, attending services regularly. Habit will reinforce.
Yeah. But see, this is an interesting thing, because what you're saying is the doing for you produces the feeling.
Yes.
But I think for a lot of people, especially women, the feeling produces the doing. Let me throw an example out there. When you're not feeling loved by your husband, mm-hmm. are you doing the sex?
Right.
Not usually. Usually the feeling comes first, right? You're not just right. like, okay, I'm going to have sex with you and that's going to make me feel better about you.
Right.
I'm going to wait till I feel better about you and then you can get in on that. Right. So I think that.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And again, and like, actually, it just might be how I'm wired.
It actually might be compartmentalized. In
right.
some places, you may feel like you have to do first before you can feel. And in some places, right. you might need to feel first and then you can do. But I think we have to leave space for both.
Oh, sure. I totally see how it can
go either way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just for me, it speaks to it. And again, the action and the habit.
We are so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you are new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. February is the month of our annual fund drive. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends? You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We're always passing the emails around to celebrate that you cared enough to reach out, and we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of 1 John. See you next time on Study with Friends.